Hello from Solid Rock Worship Center. I'm Pastor Jim Bradford. At Solid Rock, it is our desire to see people's lives built upon the truths of God's Word. Jesus is alive, doing miracles, and changing lives. For more info, check out our website at www.srworship.org. And I hope you're challenged by today's message.
Jesus, bless us as we look at your word. In Christ's name, amen. Your blank on your page is this: Christians should do business with each other. Can you see that? Christians should do business with each other. Listen, in these tough economic times, shouldn't Christians do business with each other? Business is hard to find. We should. If people aren't buying and selling, I think it's good that if I need to buy something, we buy in-house, right? That's just what I think. We should be a blessing to those within our church. It is a good thing to do business together. And business partners within the church, well, let me phrase it this way. You should be able to conduct business with partners who are honest and have integrity, right? Within the church, we should. Everything should be above the board, so to speak. Everything should be on the table. Everything should be good. Here's my next thought underneath of this umbrella. Business, what? Is business. Can you repeat that? Let's try this. Business is business. That was good. One more time. Okay? All right. Business is business. Good. Okay. Business within the church, within partners, should always be done with honesty and integrity on both parts. We have the provider and we have the consumer, okay? The provider is the one who makes the product or does the service, whatever. The provider is the one that offers his goods and services. The consumer is the one who buys the goods and services, okay? Now, we don't have anybody in church that owns a pizza shop right now, do we? Because I was thinking today, so in faith, let's pray we get somebody that owns a pizza shop. And let me think, what is a good Italian name? Anybody? Joe, you're... Oh, besides... Okay. Maybe... Right. I meant first name, a good Italian first name. Franco. Okay, he said Franco. So let's pray, although I hope we don't have to wait till Franco grows up. But let's say Franco opens his own pizza shop. Wouldn't that be awesome? Right? That'd be awesome. Okay? So if Franco comes to church and he has his own pizza shop, and if I live close enough, and if I want pizza, wouldn't it be cool to order it from Franco to bless his business? Now, if his pizza stinks, then it's a little different. But if his goods are good, man, what a blessing it would be to be able to support him. Because by me purchasing a pizza, which I was going to purchase anyway, if my money can go towards Franco and help him and his future wife, don't even say Amber, okay? His future wife, okay, I know what you're thinking. Not yet, although... I love Franco, but that's the little joke we've been saying since they were born. She just turned 7. I'm not ready to let my daughter get married just yet. Although Franco's a fine boy. Not today. Not today. But how much better would it be for me if I'm going to buy a pizza to help support his wife, right? And his kids. So Franco can earn a living, right? That would be good, wouldn't it? Sometimes this relationship within a church can turn bad, can it? So let's talk about that for a moment. Business is business. It should always be done with honesty and integrity on both parts. The provider, Franco, in the pizza business, Franco or whoever it would be, they need their work to be done well, right? Your provider of services within the church, you should work well, right? You should work hard, right? Anybody? You should be honest. You should have honesty. Nothing should be shady about the business at all. Everything should be upfront. Also, it should be done with integrity. the product, whatever it is, in this case it's a pizza, but whatever the product is, it should be done with good quality, right? If you skimp out and cut corners, you get a shoddy product. That's not how things should be done within a church, especially, right? And lastly, he should have fair prices, right? Not necessarily the cheapest, because the cheapest would be like Papa John's or something where you're supporting a big nameless, faceless chain. But it should be fair, right? You're not going to spend $100 for a pie. He would just hurt himself. But fair, but also for the quality, right? You're getting a better pie. It might cost you a little more money, but you're going to feel good the next day instead of having a stomach ache. So we expect a provider to have honesty, work done well, integrity, fair prices, right? You could probably add a few more to that, but that's all I'm going to do right now. Here's the consumer. Let's go on this side, okay? The consumer needs to clearly explain the desired product. In this case, I want a large pizza with pepperoni. Right? And we know what we're talking about. Sometimes, we don't have, I don't think, a car mechanic in church, so I'm going to use that. What if we have a car mechanic who's providing goods and services, okay? And somebody, the consumer, says, well, I want to get a tune-up. I want to get my brakes done. Well, let's just say they say, I want plugs and wires and my brakes done. Okay, fine. And the provider, with honesty and integrity, buys the right parts, blah, 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 puts it together, makes a good product. And the consumer starts yelling, well, wait a second. I wanted my transmission fluid changed and filter changed. You didn't do it. Well, you didn't ask for it, right? Do you see? If you're the consumer, you need to explain what you want, right? Okay. Now, what else do you need to do as a consumer? You need to be honest, right? You shouldn't be shady as well. Say if we had a body shop guy in our church. He fixes dents and stuff in cars. And you're getting a price, and you neglect to inform the guy that your car is actually a giant rust bucket that's been bondoed 600 times, and you're telling him you want him to pull the dent and fix it, but once he gets into it, it's a complete shambles. So the provider has given you a price of, say, $300 to fix your dent, but once he gets started, because you were shady, you knew it was going to be more expensive than that, so you're trying to stick him. And you're like, I know it's $5,000 worth of work, but I got you on paper saying you'll do it for $300. Right? That's not right either. So as the consumer, you need to be upfront and you need to say, this is what I want. Right? And do you see that? Okay? So the provider says, this is what I'll do. The consumer says, this is what I want. You negotiate your prices and you do everything above the table with honesty and integrity. Okay? The consumer will not take advantage of the provider. And also, the consumer should not try and rip the provider off. Does this happen? Does this happen in churches? I thought of this term. It's kind of like robbing in the name of Jesus. Right? You can call it spontaneous ministry. Franco's showing up, let's just say, has a pizza shop. You're having a birthday party. You need pizza. Cool, Franco, thank you. How many do you need? I need five larges. Okay, awesome. How much? $10 a pie. All right, $50. Cool, thank you. No problem, thank you. We're doing business. Franco delivers the pizza to your party. Hey, Franco, I don't have the money right now. We'll hook you up later. Ooh. Well, what did you just do? You just lied and you just robbed. Right? And it's spontaneous ministry. You love Jesus, so you'll give me what I need for free. Well, no. What you just did as the consumer was, you just took money away from Franco to provide for his family. So because you didn't have money for the pizza, maybe you shouldn't have even ordered the pizza in the first place. But because you didn't have money, Franco's son can't play football because his dad doesn't have money to put him to, you know, enlist him in sports or whatever, that you affect somebody else, right? That's wrong. That's dishonest. Anybody ever see this go on? I've seen this. Anybody ever get ripped off? Right? Because people come to church and they'll act like we want to do business, and yet they really just want some sucker to give them something for free. Well, that's not right. Right? So honesty should go on both parts for the provider and for the consumer as well. We should be upfront. We should be honest. And if there's an agreed upon price, which there should be, you should pay the price. And if you couldn't pay it, you know, like, remember, what was his name? The guy from Popeye, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday. Wimpy, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today, right? Then you need to talk about that before you ask him to make the pizzas or before you get the guy to fix your car. My mechanic, he has this problem a lot. I've never done it to him. But people will go, get him to work on their car, take it, he buys parts, puts it on, and then they stick them. You know, hey, we'll pay you. What do you mean? The guy just spent $400 in parts. Well, we'll give it to you next week, or, you know, I'll give you $50 a month till Jesus comes back. Well, what is that? You need to work that out ahead of time, right? So now, today, very practical message. We're going to talk about dealing with issues like this. The Bible is practical. The Bible isn't just this mystical book about stuff that we can't understand. It's very practical. Today, Paul reaches out to this church in Corinth and helps them in a very practical issue. We already said this. In the tough economic times, why not give your church family the business? You could actually take that wrong. Give them the business, right? Not that kind of business. You know, buy, exchange goods. Isn't that good? But we shouldn't rip each other off. That's not right. Business is business. Wow, I should have clicked that one. All right, the next blank that you have on your paper, the church and the legal system. We're actually going to get into the passage at this point. We're going to read verse 1 through... Yeah, we're going to read 1 through 6 right now, I think. Let me see. All right, let's read 1 through 6 right now. It says, when one of you has a dispute with another believer, here's Paul, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask the secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even on these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. If you have legal disputes about such matters, why go to outside judges who are not respected by the church? I am saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? But instead, one believer sues another right in front of what? Unbelievers. Wow. I love it when Paul lays the smack down. Isn't that fun? Let's see what Paul is saying, okay? When there are disputes, the church's first reaction should not be to sue each other. Okay, you can write that on your bulletin if you have one. The first reaction should not be to sue each other. Anybody know anyone who their first reaction is to sue somebody? We would say being sue happy, right? I've heard stories. My dad knows somebody. Hopefully, I don't know if you know him or not. But he knows somebody who they sued their own mom. That they were going in their mom's house. They fell down. They hurt themselves. They sued their own mom. And their response was, well, I'm not really suing my mom. I'm suing her insurance company. You're suing your mom. I mean, that's pretty bad, right? Okay? People love to sue. People love to sue churches. People love to sue people. Okay? Our first reaction as Christians should not be to sue each other. I order pizzas from Franco. Sorry, you guys put his name in, but let's say I order pizzas from Franco, and I got four pizzas, and mostly the fifth pizza, I was just missing a slice. Because he got hungry. Now, what if I said, I had, what do you get, eight slices of pie? I had 40 guests at my party. I only had 39 slices. My party was a disaster. So I'm suing Franco for $8.5 million for that slice of pizza. Right? Don't we hear this kind of stuff? Isn't that ridiculous? Should Christians act that way? Not at all. Let's move on here. The church and the legal system. In regards to the little things, verse 2 said, don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? Since you're going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among you? Verse 3 again, don't you realize we'll judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. Here's the deal. Two words you need to underline in this passage, okay? The one is these little things among yourselves. Little. And verse 3, if you have the New Living, says these ordinary disputes. These little things, these ordinary disputes, these things like I'm missing a slice of pizza, okay? Or whatever, smaller things, you should be able to decide them among yourselves. The NIV calls them trivial cases. The King James says the smallest matters. The Message, if you have Eugene Peterson's translation, it says the petty matters. The smaller things you should be able to handle yourself. Wherever possible, seek out an arbitrator with the church. Verse 5 tells us that. We saw that. I am saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who's wise enough to decide these issues? Right? Is there anybody wise enough to figure this out? Within this church, they were suing each other over the dumbest, stupidest stuff. Okay? It was the headline in the newspaper at the time. Solid Rock Worship Center people sue each other over something dumb. And it makes the church look bad. It's a terrible thing. Here's how this should work out. There should be an arbitrator involved. If there's one Christian, a Christian provider and a Christian consumer within the same church, even, especially. But even if not in the same church, we're still part of the church universal. We should be able to resolve disagreements. How should this work out? You should find someone you respect who is like a third party who can resolve these matters. In our instance, let's just say if you have an issue between someone, why not come to the pastor first? Or come to our board? And we could sit together and we could hear your case. We could say, you know, what happened here on your side? What happened here on this side? And we can make a judgment call and resolve this issue, right? This should happen within a church setting. So many things could be done in-house, but it's handled outside, which is not a good thing. Isn't there anyone in all the church who's wise enough, Paul said? Both parties, as I said, they should come to a third party within the church to ask for help. Both parties must agree to be honest, and they must agree to accept the arbitrator's judgment. Okay? That's important. We need to go and say, you know what? I have a disagreement here. I have a disagreement here. I think I did what you asked me to do with selling you the goods and services. Well, I don't feel so much that you did what I asked you to do. Let's go take care of this. We need a third person and we need to handle it in-house. This happened very, very early on in the church. I'm thinking about Moses when the people crossed the Red Sea and they're in the wilderness. And Moses was making decisions upon fights like that within the tribe of Israel. There's always going to be disagreements, right? There's always going to be disagreements because we're just people. Somebody will say, this is my seat. Well, I was here first. Well, whatever. And we'll want to get in arguments over stuff. And then if we don't deal with it, somebody could get sued or somebody will get mad and leave the church. And instead, what we should do as the people of God, be humble, take a deep breath, and say, let's work this out, and let's get the pastor, and let's get the board, and let's deal with this as what? Adults, right? Responsible, mature adults. Too many times people act like children, and it just messes things up, and they don't want to listen to anything. Why not just go to court? Why not? Paul tells us at the end of verse 6, they're doing this right in front of unbelievers. The first reason why not just go to court is it makes Jesus look bad to the unbelievers, right? Our job as a church is what? To share Jesus with the world. And if we're suing each other in court, we're going to make the church look bad, right? We're going to make Jesus look bad, and they're going to say, if this is how they are as a family, I don't want anything to do with that family. Right? Isn't that bad? That's real bad. Why else should we not go to court? It embarrasses the church. We would save the church a lot of embarrassment by not going to court. Why else? It saves money. Do lawyers usually drive bad cars? No. Do lawyers have small houses and stay at hotels and stuff? No. Lawyers make big money, right? Big money. We shouldn't have to pay lawyers. We should be able to handle it in-house. Also, it saves a lot of time. It just does. We could deal with the issue. We don't have to wait 6 months. We don't have to meet with counsel and all this other stuff. Okay? Now, moving on to your next blank, that was in regards to the little things. There are things we can handle in church, disagreements, such and such. But in regards to the more complicated legal matters, we have some thoughts for that too. We respect and submit to the government and the judicial system. Amen? Right? God's called us to submit to church authority. We talk about that. But God's also called us to submit to the judicial system that He's put over us. Romans 13 and Titus 3 tell us explicitly we are to submit to the law of the land. Therefore, here's a blank for you. In case of crime, work within the legal system with the love of Christ. Okay? Love is your blank. Is there a time when you must get a lawyer? Yeah, there are times when you need to get a lawyer. Okay? Particularly in places of crime, you need to get a lawyer, right? Or you need to call the police, right? Say, for instance, because this happens, unfortunately, way too much, a child is abused. I've said this before, we're calling the cops, right? We just are. You just need to know that. If we're sitting down and we're having a one-on-one counseling session and you tell me you molested a kid, I'll tell you now, I'm calling the cops. Why? Because legally, I have to. By law, I have to. But you committed a crime. You see, when you become a Christian, it doesn't make you no longer responsible for your actions. You're still responsible for your actions. The difference is we come to Christ and we say, I will take responsibility for what I've done. And if there's jail time involved, you serve your time, right? And you serve it to honor Jesus, repent, serve Jesus in jail, get out of jail and begin your new life with Christ, right? But you need to be responsible for your actions. We submit to the government. If it's against the law, it's against the law. But here's the deal. If there's a time when somebody has hurt you or they've taken advantage of your business, there might be a time you need to get legal action involved. But it should always be done with the love of Christ, with the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And here's the thought, okay? Jesus is exalted when justice prevails. Think about that. When true justice prevails, it honors Jesus. But when we're suing each other over dumb stuff, right? Jesus isn't exalted in that. Or if I'm suing somebody just because I don't like them and there's a lot of pride involved, Jesus isn't exalted in that. But when real justice reigns, Jesus is Look at verse 7 through 11. Paul continues, even to have such lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourselves be cheated? Instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even your fellow believers. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or are abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed, you were made holy, you were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Interesting here. In this passage, Paul lists, and I preached on this before, a list of people who aren't getting to heaven, right? You can look at this list, and if things jump out at you, great. Repent of your sin. Get right with God. But I got a feeling this church was very prideful, as we've looked at before. They're thinking, we're good. We got everything down. Paul lists the sins of those who aren't going to heaven. They're like, yeah, we got this sexual sin. Yeah, we're good. Worship idols. Oh, yeah, no problem. Male prostitute, not this week. Doing well, you know. Moving forward, your thieves, haven't robbed anybody this morning. Greedy drunkards, you know, not since last year. You know, they're thinking we're good. Abuse people, not when anybody sees, you know. And then the last one, Paul's like, ah, cheat people. Ooh, not going to heaven. Paul just said, you know what? You're the ones who do wrong and cheat people. Cheaters do not go to heaven. What do you think of that? Okay? So how serious is it when I ask Franco in the future to bring me a bunch of pizzas, he's thinking he's getting paid, and I rip him off, and I cheat. And I'll say, I'll give you $20 and I'll pay you a nickel a week for 1,000 years. How's that sound? Right? You're a cheater. Or if I'm going to sue him for $8.5 million because I was one slice less. The Christian thing would have been that I didn't eat. And I gave my slice to the other person. Right? Or the Christian thing would have been, let's all cut up the pizzas a little bit smaller. Right? Or whatever. There's a million ways. Or send somebody to Papa John's. Or we'll eat the potato chips and let you eat the pizza. There's a million ways you could have solved the problem. But if you come at it, I'm going to sue you for way more than it's worth because you want to get rich because you're lazy and don't want to get a job. So you want to sue somebody and you want to get everything free. Paul says, you know what? Might not be going to heaven. Wow. Is that a big deal? That's a big deal. Is it just me or have you seen people rip people off in church? We should do business with each other. But business is business. And you need to be above the board. The best people to buy from should be the guy in church. And the best customer you should have should be the person in church. If you own your own business, you should know if you have two jobs to choose, I'll choose the church person because I know that I'll get paid, right? And not the other way around. Okay? How wrong is it for somebody to come and do work for you and then you're making them do ministry they didn't ask to do? Or while you're here, can you help me do this, 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 and this? You know what? I need to go to work and make money. No. No. All right. A few more blanks for you. Quick message today. Be the bigger person. Be the bigger person. Okay? Listen, God is your provider, right? Okay? We need to trust Him to actually take care of us. Novel idea, isn't it? If I order pizzas from somebody and they mess up the order, I'm not going to sue somebody and put it in a newspaper. And you know what? God's big enough. God's going to provide. Is there a time when things are more serious? Yeah. But it's not always more serious, right? Is there a time where you might have to do something? Like, I'm not saying I should, if I owned a house, that I should lose my house over somebody doing something. No. But there's a time when a lot of things are just trivial. And I just need the bigger person. And if somebody rips me off $50, you know what? God's big enough to make up for it. Am I right? But you know what? I'm never going to do business with you again if you rip me off. It's not that I don't forgive you. I love you because Jesus said I have to. But I'm not going to do business with you anymore. But it's okay. We'll be a man and God will make up for it and move on. Right? But you should be the bigger person. Paul says, so what if you get taken advantage of? So what? Now, I'm not saying you should let somebody obviously hurt your children. You call the cops. Or let somebody hurt you financially. You can't pay the bills. You're going to be kicked out. No, that's not right either. Because you do work, you should get paid for your work. But over little things, it's okay. Be the bigger person. Another blank on your paper is this. Guard against pride. Okay? Like I said, this doesn't mean that you should allow yourself to be taken advantage of. But so many times the issue can be pride in your heart. Where we can say, you ripped me off. And I want to get you back because you have a pride issue, right? Isn't pride ugly? And if you can take vengeance on them, you will. Well, that shouldn't belong in the church. We should have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, right? Right? Amen? We're almost done. All right. Amen? All right, it'll go better for you if we get a little bit of excitement. Legal system message. Yay, fun. It's very important, okay? Watch your pride. Because here's how it works. The devil will attack you and make you want to go back at them, right? And you need to guard against that. You need to ask yourself if there is a lawsuit thing involved or if you feel like you need to get a lawyer over this case. You need to say, is it pride? If there's a disagreement and you think you need an arbitrator in the church, even before that, even before you call the pastor and say, Pastor, we need to meet to settle this. Ask yourself, is it just pride? Is it really not a big deal? And if it is pride, you need to just trust Jesus and you need to let it go. It's not always pride, but you need to check and ask yourself. Last thing. We talked about this, a warning to those who are dishonest. Paul gives a very clear warning. Cheaters don't go to heaven. There's a whole lot of other things in that passage. I encourage you to read it, look at it, and pray about it. Today, in context, we're talking about ripping people off. It's a serious thing. You're not going to go to heaven. But Paul adds that tagline on the back. He says, repent of your sin. Because some of you guys in your church, you were like that. Some of you, you cheated people. You've robbed people. You've committed adultery. You've had lifestyles that some people would say is alternative. The Bible says it's evil. Whatever it was, some of you were like that, but you were cleansed by God, made right by God, that God has done a new work in you. You are saved. But if we're saved, rejoice in that, but don't live like you used to. Amen? Rejoice in your new life, but don't live like you used to. When all goes wrong, here's our application for today. When all goes wrong in your life, if you are the provider or the consumer, lawsuits should not be your first reaction. Don't call a lawyer first thing. Don't do that. Whenever possible, seek out an arbitrator in the church. Today, very practical issue. I'm not saying that you have to lose all the time. I'm not saying that you have to lose. If somebody owes you, they owe you. And your family should not be struggling and starving to death while somebody else, they're fine because they just rip everybody off. Right? Here's a little side note. We could always want to help other people that don't have anything. Sometimes they don't have anything because they're bad stewards. Right? And it's not right to sit back and squander all your money and buy stupid junk or be lazy and then want everybody else to reach out to you. Right? Am I right? Man, it's quiet in here. That's not right. You can't expect a handout all the time. Bible says don't work, don't eat. When there's a need, we're going to rush and help, man. Because that's what we do as a church. But you can't sit back and just be a sponge and just absorb resources. There's a word that we call that in the animal world. Bad word. I'm thinking two words. Parasite and leech. We should be family members. And as I look out at our church, I honestly see family members. I don't see leeches. Right? And I'm so glad that we come together. We should do business together. There's rules. And we follow the rules. And we're honest. And we're above reproach. And we pay our bills. And if we need to barter things and you fix my car and then I'll paint your house, awesome. We can do that. Just don't have them fix your car and not paint their house, right? We do that. In fact, we had a barter system as a church when we first moved here from the veterans. Part of our agreement with coming here was that we painted the kitchen and we painted the outside of the building that was all block. You remember, Joe, you were here. Bobby, Bob Sr., Rudy, you helped carry that old nasty stove. Remember that? I just looked at that picture the other day where Rudy's there with his drill working on stuff. That was over about 4 years ago. You know, we did all that work part of the barter system. You guys can rent the facility from us, do this and this. And we did it. And guess what? We did it and the veterans loved us because we kept our word and we worked hard and we did a good job. That's what we should do as Christians. Amen? Don't jump to lawsuits. Whenever possible, seek out an arbitrator. We can help you work with these things. That's kind of our role and job as a church. We can help you. We'll pray about it. We'll seek the Holy Spirit who gives wisdom. In cases of crime, as I said, work within the legal system with love. With love. You don't have to be nasty. We can do it with love. And the last thing, be the bigger person. Amen? We can do that. Very practical message today from the Word. It's not all about, you know, some people have weird thoughts about the Bible. The Bible is very practical. Very practical. And it tells us how to live. And when we live here and we do business Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I want God to smile down on us as we conduct our business. I want Him to bless us because we're living in accordance to His Word, that we're just people who are above reproach, and we'll give Him all the glory. Amen? Amen. Amen.